Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your word. And we thank you for your grace and mercy. Ask your blessing upon each one that's represented here, each family. We ask all the ones that are out there somewhere that are family members, we ask that you bless them with protection. We ask that you would lay your hand upon them and continue to lead and guide them as they're sensitive to you. They'd hear your voice and they'd follow you because you said you would do that for us. So we thank you for answered prayer today. We ask you, Lord God, that each one here that has been praying, that tonight there'd be a night that they'd solemnly say that God has answered my prayer. So we thank you tonight. We give you praise, thanksgiving for anything. So we invite Holy Spirit. We invite you. You're the great teacher and guide. We cannot do anything without you. So we acknowledge that without you, there's nothing we can do. Empty words without you. So Father, we humble ourselves. We thank you that without you, without your anointing, that we cannot do it. So thank you. We ask you to stretch forth your hand to heal. Signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. And we pray that let my words not be with just man's words, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, before we get our prayers answered, before anything else happens, we praise you right now. In advance, by faith, we thank you that it is so, it is done. Amen and amen. Thank God, amen. Praise God. All right, turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Ephesians 6:18, and we'll start with there. We're talking tonight about on the topic of prayer, and the title of our message is Praying in Line with God's Word. Praying in Line with God's Word. Our text of Scripture is a general text we'll use, and we'll use a little bit more specific text that later on, Scriptures that will be more specific to what we're talking about. And Ephesians 6:18, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, which he started, whom he was apostle of, and who he was actually called a missionary apostle. You know, the word apostle in the Scripture means sent one, a special messenger, someone sent to do a special job and that has a special purpose in mind. Ephesians 6:18, Paul's writing to them after he told them about, or in conjunction with talking about, the armor of God, and part of our armor he's mentioning. He says, praying always, this is King James Version, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Supplicating in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians, or at least John 15:7, we'll go back to Ephesians in a moment to make some comments before we continue. John 15:7, King James Version said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Draw your attention to that John 15:7. When it comes to answered prayer, the emphasis is not on what God will do, but on what you do and what you know to do. If you notice in John 15:7, Jesus emphasizes you more than him, or more than God. So God's already set the tone. He's already given us rules for prayer. And we are to abide by those rules if we are going to get our prayers answered. He set principles, laws of the Spirit that we must operate under before he even ever asks us to pray or talk about the subject of prayer. He's already set the law of faith or the law of the Spirit, and we must understand the rules. Now, go back to Ephesians 6:18 just for a moment, just to repeat some things. We want to utter some words so that people who are out there might not be familiar with these texts of Scripture. So we'll just give you some ideas so that you can follow more easily. I want to be as clear as possible. You know, as a pastor, you need to teach people. You can't assume everybody knows what you know, or you don't. You can't assume that people remember everything. So it's always good to remind people. So Ephesians 6:18, Paul is praying to the church that he started. He was a father to these people, and he's telling them about the armor of God, and he includes prayer as part of the armor. And all the armor, I must add, has to do with the Word of God. Has everything to do with what you do actively every day in the Word. Has nothing to do with, you know, doing some exercise, putting on something, pretending you're putting on a helmet. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what you know about the Word. If, for example, sword of spirit means the Scriptures. Using the Scripture against the enemy, it's a sword against the enemy. Belt of truth just reminds us that we need to walk in integrity of the Word of God in our lives. The breastplate of righteousness reminds us of who we are in Christ and what we have, what we can do in Christ. The belt of truth means that we should always be in truth, right? And so we need to understand that these Scriptures, when he talks about the armor of God, this all has to do with our enlightenment of, you know, the Scriptures about what it says that we have in Christ. So when fighting against the enemy, you need to know who you are in battle if you're going to win. If he assaults you that you're not good enough, you need to understand you're righteous in Christ now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is that okay? Yes. So if praying always, the Bible says praying always with all prayer. So when he talks about the phrase, they're all prayer, many of the Scriptures tell us that there's all kinds of prayers. Not just one kind of prayer, which many people are accustomed to. When it talks about praying, people always talk about petition prayer, asking God something. And that's generally what most people are familiar with. You know, God, I want to give me enough money, heal my body, let my dog come home, let me find my keys, whatever it is, you know, asking God to do for you. And so, all prayer, the Amplified says all kinds of prayer. There's not just one kind or one type of prayer. There's different kinds of prayers. And having said that, there are different rules that make each prayer work. And all the prayers that are mentioned in the Bible, they work together. They don't just work separately. They all work together. And they all operate through the prayer of faith or faith. Amen. Because if you don't know the first rules of the prayer of faith, you will not know how to use the other prayers. So, that's all I have to say. I mean, when it comes to that general thing. Tomorrow night, I just want to mention to you, I'm just going to, just give people here a little bit of not warning, a little bit of advertisement. Tomorrow night, we're actually, I was asked to do have prayer with Pastor, Timo, which is a pastor from Solemn Church. What's his name again, Pastor? Mika. I forget his name for a second. But he asked me to lead in prayer tomorrow. And, you know, he reminded me, he said, you know, you're one of the, I think the oldest pastor in the city. Not physically, but the longest standing pastor in the evangelical department. So, I don't know if that's true or not, but if his research is correct, I could be one of the older ones. I know there's two other guys who are a little older than me that's been around. I don't know if they've been senior pastors, but they've been around a little long. But anyway, I'll take it as it is. And, you know, I just, anytime, you know, the Lord told me, asked me to ask him to. In fact, yesterday, God said to me, phone Pastor Mika, and I just got so busy, I didn't remember. So while I was driving today, and I saw Pastor Mika stop to him, and he said, hey, I was going to call you today. I said, I was going to call you yesterday. And he says, I forgot, are you coming tomorrow? I said, coming, and I acted like we all should when we want everybody to know we know what they're talking about. Said, oh, okay, yeah, tomorrow, yeah, okay, come tomorrow. He said, you remember coming tomorrow? I said, yeah, sure. You know, call me later on. I wanted to arrange, see if I had something else coming. But, you know, he already arranged it. So last time he asked me to come and I didn't show up because I was out of town. So anyway, you're all invited. Tell all your friends tomorrow. We're going to be praying at the Waterfront Park. So we'll be doing some prayer there. So thank God. We're going to cast out devils by 7:30. And no, I'm just kidding. Okay, listen, we're just going to pray down at the waterfront tomorrow at the Spirit Garden, which is a very appropriate place to pray. Spirit Garden. Okay, commercial off. You can edit this section, Mr. Editor. Thank you. Now, I want you to notice Ephesians 6:18. When he says praying always, you know, we need to be in ready to pray all the time. That's what he's talking about. Praying always with all prayer, or be ready to pray anytime, anywhere, with whatever kind of prayer God asks you to pray. If you're in Walmart, God says to bless someone and pray for them while you're buying your milk, whatever. Just say, thank God, I want to pray that. You can pray that in your spirit. Notice at the end of the verse of Scripture, he says, with all prayers, but notice there's another prefix or a little section where it says, supplicating in the Spirit. If you notice that term with other scriptures, you know, Scripture will interpret other Scripture. Scripture will interpret Scripture. When he says supplicating in the Spirit, he's actually referring to praying in tongues or praying empowered by the Spirit, because you could pray in English really being carried by the Spirit of God. One person said amen. So I want you to say you can do that. You can do that. When you know you're praying, carried by the Holy Spirit, when you're praying in English and the Holy Ghost is on you, you're praying, you know it. You don't say, I wonder if the Holy Spirit is on me. No, you actually know it. You're just really empowered by it. How many of you can wave your hand and say, yeah, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. Okay. So, as a general text, Ephesians 6:18 is talking about in there that there's all kinds of prayers. And there's different set of rules that make each of those prayers what it is. Because they're differentiated by, the different kinds of needs in the world and different kinds of things that we have to pray for. Let's say, for instance, you know, the prayer of faith itself alone cannot be prayed for someone else because you want something to happen in their lives. Because then that would violate someone else's will. Like if you want to get somebody healed who doesn't believe in healing, you cannot force healing on someone who does not believe in healing. Or you cannot pray someone get saved right now because you know it's God's will to get saved, for everybody to get saved. You pray, and you pray so strongly and hard that they get saved right now. No matter how hard you pray, they're not going to be saved right then. Until they come to the knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and realize they need salvation. You can pray that the knowledge of God would come to them about salvation so that they can be saved. That's another story. Okay? So there's a difference in that. And so I realized that when I got, you know, the Spirit of God spoke to me very clearly. And a lot of times when I get up in the morning, he says to me different things. So he said to me, teach on prayer this morning. I didn't think he was going to say teach on prayer, I thought he was talking about generally, sometime. I don't know when. As I've gone about today, and when I met Mika, and he said to me, get ready to pray tomorrow. And the Lord said to me, I told you, get ready to pray and teach on prayer tonight. And so I got ready this afternoon. I'm making some notes. And then all of a sudden, within 3 hours, all my notes fell into place. And the thing about it is that I didn't have to use lexicons and helps and all that kind of stuff. It just said, we came right down. And I can show you my notes that this came from the Lord. This is fresh revelation. Hallelujah. Fresh manna. And I know we need to have this word out. So supplicating in the Spirit is really talking about praying in tongues. So we need to learn how to pray both in English with our understanding, or if you're French, you pray in French with your understanding. We need to pray with our understanding, and we need to pray with the Spirit without not understanding certain situations. So you can only pray about what you do not understand by praying in the Spirit or supplicating in the Spirit by the Spirit's help, because you don't know everything about the will of God for everybody in every place. Notice at the end of the section, it says, supplicating for all saints. Supplicating the Spirit and supplicating for all saints. Or praying in the Spirit with the Spirit's help, praying for every saint. Because you don't know every saint, so you're going to have to supplicate their needs or get their needs met by praying in the Spirit for them. So, you know, when we say Scripture and interpret Scripture, you can look at different Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. And you can see different Scriptures that say stuff like that. But when you pray, you know, praying in tongues means praying in the Spirit, supplicating in the Spirit. So notice John 15, 7, which is sort of another general text of Scripture, which we've been taught when we went to Rhema about, you know, the president of our school showed us that these are two general Scriptures that you could use, and you can use these two Scriptures in prayer and go any direction you want to go. Because it's a general text of Scripture on prayer. And you can just, you know, work at it. Now, he said, if you abide in me, and the only way you can abide in Jesus or live in Christ is get born again. So he's talking about if you abide in me. In other words, if you're going to abide in Christ, you have to know you're born again first to be living in him. Notice he said, if you abide in me, that is if you're born again. My words abide in you. In other words, if the word of God is living in you by reading it, meditating on it, becomes real to you, not just your head knowledge, but right in your heart. That's how it gets to you in your heart to become real, by meditating on it, talking about the word. You know, I really understand more than ever now that meditating on the word becomes more real to you, and you can pray more with solid faith when the word of God is in your heart, not just in your head. When you memorize the Scriptures and you know they're there, the Word of God becomes more real to you. Becomes more real to you in your heart when you begin to meditate on it. Amen. That's what he's talking about. So I know many of you know the Scriptures. You can memorize Scriptures, but when it becomes in your heart for real strong in your heart, it just becomes so real to you. Like, you know, that chair in front of you or this person right beside you. You just know that you know. He said, you shall ask, and then you shall ask what you will. In other words, what you will, that is based on the word. Amen. What you will, not what you will, like I want, you know, a brand new car right now, Lord. I want, you know, whatever it is, you know, like some guy was saying, what you will, it's not exactly talking about your own selfish will, but your will that is based on the will and purposes and plan of God. He said, notice this. You shall ask what you will, okay, and it shall be done unto you. We're talking about answered prayer tonight, so we're talking about how to get your prayers answered. And so, I propose as this idea for this teaching is that, or the idea of this teaching is based on this, that prayers that are based out of the will of God are futile. Prayers that are built outside of the Word of God or the will of God, prayers that are built on your feeling or circumstances or what your will and your mind is futile. Prayer has to be built on the knowledge of the will of God. Prayers are not answered because you have a great need in your body. You have a great need in your life because there's a big problem in your family. Prayers are not built on based on needs. I mean answered prayer. But answered prayer is really based on the knowledge of God's will in your life. When that knowledge becomes real to you that God wants you to have a certain thing a certain way, then you can pray that out of your heart. The Bible says, whatsoever you say will come to pass if you pray based on the will of God. Amen. And sometimes, you know, we know this casually, and we don't really take seriously this whole idea, and so we kind of like casually go about our lives and not really praying with supplication means you're praying with just great passion, not just mental praying. Amen. So we want to see this, and then that's why everybody else, you know, here's let me just say here. I'll say something else about that. Prayers are not answered because of great need, but because of faith in God's word. Hebrews 11 and 33 says that through faith we obtain promises. So if you're going to obtain a Bible promise, you're going to have to build your prayer on that word. So, as an introduction, let me just say this. I've said a lot of things here, but as an introduction, I'm going to say many people are not getting answers to their prayers because it's outside of the will of God. Prayers must remain inside of Scripture if we are to get answers to our petitions. Let's look at the main reasons or the main reason for a lack of confidence and answers to our prayers. And just like what the following scripture says in the book of James, if we ask God for something out of wrong motive, then we will not receive what we ask for. Notice over here in James 4:3, you ask and you receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. That's selfishly praying for something. Let's be really somewhat facetious by saying this, you know, let's pray that our team wins. What if they're on their side, their mama's boy is praying that their team wins?
Yes.
You know? I'm going to pray tonight when I go to bingo, I'm going to pray that I win. I'm going to pray tonight, Lotto Canada, whatever, I pray that my numbers come up. Well, those are all based on lusts. Why many people do not get answers to their prayers? Our text tells us exactly why many do not get their prayers answered. Notice John 15:7, as we read earlier. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You have to ask yourself, you're born again, but is this word really abiding in you? Is that just some kind of mental faith or what we call what is that word we're looking for, Pastor Ken? That mental assent, yeah. When you just mentally agree, it's in there, I know it's in there. That's what Jesus said, if it's just like that, then it's really not real faith in your heart. You're really convinced on the inside of you, man, that belongs to me. That belongs to me right now. I thank God I'm going to receive it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name. I have it right now. Did you get healed? Yeah. Well, you don't look healed. Well, no, you have to understand you're basing your prayer not on how you feel, what you look like, you're basing on what God said. Is this too heavy? Well, I'm feeling heavy right now. Okay. Not being in the Word. Everybody said not being in the Word. Nudge your neighbor and say, get in the Word. Not being in the Word is the primary cause of answered prayer. It is the cause of not being in the Word is the cause of not knowing the promises of God. Therefore, you cannot pray scriptural prayers. When that happens, our prayers will be unproductive. God only responds to what's in line with His Word. God sets the standard, and we must comply or not have our prayers answered. Whenever we pray, we ask ourselves, is that based on Scripture? Because you can only stand on Scripture. I know you guys are liking this because you like this, but how much do you actually know it? Whenever there's a big problem, then you come crying to somebody. You know? Where's that hotline? Where's the Benny Hinn hotline? Come on now. I'm going to phone Hundley Street. Where's that Peter Youngren hotline? Is there a prayer meeting at your house? Hello, out there in Facebook land. Somebody pray for me. Hey! That's exactly how it is. You see, all kinds of, even preachers are like that. Supposed to know the word. That's in something stupid on there. Now, you know, I'm not saying who it is. Okay, you got to be confident in the scriptures. You have to be confident in your own praying, in your own words that you're basing on the word of God. Now, there are times, granted, that you need someone to help you in prayer. Not every time you pray and turn around and ask Facebook, who's out there to help me pray? You should already belong to a church that you know some, at least one person. Jesus said, at least find one person to agree with you, not Facebook. Right. When you put it out there, then the devil knows exactly how he's getting to you and how he's going to attack you next time strategically. So the less you say about it, the less he'll attack you. Learn that lesson, you know, that the devil knows. He likes to pick on people like that. Yep. Praise God. Just smile, say, not me, praise God, amen. They say, oh, not me. You know, the devil, you know, he likes to attack people who likes, you know, he's looking for some people to devour, so the crying, people crying. You know, Mark Hankins talks about, you know, the little animal or something that, you know, he's crying in the desert. I think it's a rabbit or something like that. They're crying in the desert so that a fox knows where he is. Wounded rabbit or something like that, right? So confidence in your own prayer. Many Christians are not completely confident in their own prayer life or prayers because they do not know what the scripture says in the first place. If one does not know what the scripture says, they will not have confidence in their own prayer. So that's why they go, anybody in this room or on TV right now that has to go to everybody else to get prayers for them is a baby Christian in that area. If you would come to Bible school, I'll teach you how to pray. And if you sit in our church, I will tell you not to come to me for prayer because it's not based on me. It's based on what you know. Because I can pray something in your life, but you could nullify it by being an unbelief. Even if I got it for you. Anybody who gets prayers from somebody else answered can get also robbed from the enemy. Excuse me, I don't mean to spit on you like that. Okay. Excuse me. All right. Then they're looking at a difficult situation ahead of them. Are you confident in the word? Are you confident in your own prayer? I said this many times, a long time now. I said that the happiest day in your life is when you know that God will answer your prayers. The most freest day in your life is when you know that God will answer your prayers. And the devil likes to scare people that their prayers are not being heard because you're not good enough and so forth and so on, or you don't know enough. You know, God doesn't want you to know the whole Bible. He tells people all the time, you got to know all the Bible. You got to have lots of courses in the Bible for prayers to be answered. That's not true. You just have to come to Faith Lab Bible School. So lack of confidence in the prayer's life only means one thing, is that they have no faith, or a person has no faith. They don't believe that their own prayers are going to work. Because faith is built and based on the living word of God. If that living word is inside of you living, then you can ask what you will be done on for you. So, what do we do then? We have to get into the word of God, get into the will of God to know what the covenant says about us. Here's what 1 John 5:14 says. We are confident. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. 1 John 5:14, 15, this is New Living. And since we make our requests, we know that he will give us what we ask for. That's a little bit fast. I know some of you are going, what did he say? You're just thinking about what I just said. Okay, wait a minute. Even our top prayer warriors are going. I like the King James Version in this. Am I going too fast? I have to go fast because I have lots of notes. I want to talk like Luke Parody. What is the next one? Okay. I like the King James Version scriptures concerning the scripture. It says, because the new NLT leaves some things out, some more important facts, a little unbelievable. Okay. So prayer should be based on Bible or based on scriptures, which is the laws of God. When we know the word or scripture, when it comes to praying, we will be confident in our own prayer life. The reason why people ask other people to pray for them, because they think they got the answer, they don't. But there has to come a day when you know that you have an answer and that God will answer you. Not based on that you're a minister or you've been in the ministry for many years or that you're the only one anointed or your group is the only one anointed to answer. No, God will answer anybody who knows the word. I'm trying to get people off my back. Because they think, you've been in the ministry for... I'll be in ministry for 30 years this year. This has gone by fast. Where did it go? I'm asking you. Everybody's looking at me. Looking for an answer because I don't know. Okay, all right. Okay, let's go here. 1 John 5:14 in the King James says, this is a confidence. Everybody say confidence. If you notice, confidence has to do with faith. The Amplified Version of Hebrews 11:1 says, this is the confidence that, he says in there that now faith is the the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things not... See, got Bible school students. Come on, guys, help me out here. So it talks about having confidence. So if you read the King James Version on Hebrews 11:1, it talks about having confidence. This is the confidence we have. Pick up the, Amplified Bible there. I hope we have a good person doing our editing. Don't put all this on the television, Mr. Editor. Because sometimes he puts a whole bunch of stuff in there I didn't want. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things which we do not see, the conviction of the reality perceiving as real fact, what is revealed not to the senses. So it's the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, the confidence. Some of those, the Amplified, I think the Amplified, the other version of Amplified says it's the confidence. You're confident. So you cannot have, if you don't have the word, you're not confident. So it says, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we know that if we ask anything in the Bible that's his will, that we're going to get it. So you have to know, if you're going to pray for healing, you got to know for a fact that healing belongs to you. Not just that healing exists. For the church or arbitrarily or just for that there's healing, but you have to know it's for you. Amen. You will not get it just based on that. I know healing exists. You will not get it because you think healing is available. You got to know, does it belong to you? Yes, it's mine. I have it now. It's mine. Amen. So you got to know that. That's why it's not just a mental thing. Faith is of the heart, not the head. Faith has to do everything. It's not, the head, we got to renew our minds, the Bible says, but it has to be inside here. You got to be living inside here. When you eat food, it becomes a part of you. Like when you eat, you got to eat the word, the scripture says. And so verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, We know that we have the petitions that we desired him. If you ask something, you got it. He didn't tell you, you know you have it when you feel it or when you see it. It says right here, you got to know first it's in the will, in the word, and you ask based on that, then you know, praise God, I got it. That's what it's talking about here. Answered prayers based on that particular premise alone, on that foundation alone. Not on, I feel healed, I'm shaking right now. Thank God you're shaking, but that's not going to heal you. I fell over on the power of God, and thank God, he was a great man of God. He healed many people. I got to be healed because I went to Old Roberts. No, it's not based on whether Old Roberts, he's dead now. It's based on the scripture. And God is not dead. His spirit is alive in us today. And he's, we got to know. Your kid could pray for you, and if they got the spirit of God on you, you will be healed. Okay. Everybody say, praying in line. Point your neighbor again. Nudge him a little bit. Say, pray in line with the word. Tell yourself, I'm praying in line with the will. The apostle or the apostles in the first church, some people say the early church. Are we the late church or the middle one? I don't know. We're still the same church as they are. There's only one Jesus. When you dive in the water, your head might have gone first, or you might have jumped in the water, your feet went in first. But you're still the body going into the water. Whether you're first or the head first or your toes went first. Well, if you don't understand it, forget it. Okay. The Bible and the first church knew that praying in line with the will of God or the word of God was critical to their meeting their needs. We see this with Peter. Apostle Peter leading the prayer of unified prayer or group prayer or corporate prayer. We see this incident in the Bible. It is so important that we follow procedure as far as scriptures to lay down a foundation as a precedent for our answered prayer. I mean, they laid down the precedent and we follow suit. Notice over here. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Will you please go to Acts chapter 4? Acts chapter 4. Being a teacher, it's so hard to just get everything in at once. And sometimes I say, okay, I'll come back to this message. I never come back to it. So Acts 4:23, and being let go, they went to their own company. And they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. When they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to the church, to the Pope. Who did they lift their voices to?
God.
Okay, so they lift up their voice to God in one accord. That's my Honda. They were in the Honda over here. Okay, they lift up their voice to God one accord. They're praying all together. Can God hear everybody's prayer at the same time? According to this, he can't. Okay, so they said, Lord, you are God. First, when we come to God, when we answer prayer, we got to know God is almighty. He's stronger than arthritis. He's bigger than a drug addiction. He's bigger than any cancer cell. God is big. Bigger than financial problems. He is God Almighty. That's what he's saying. So when we got to know, when we come to God, he is God Almighty. Lord, you are God, which you have made heaven and earth. Who in the world can make heaven and earth? God can only do that. They're, if you notice that, they're situating themselves and make a distinction between God and themselves. And the sea and all that is in them. Who, notice this, who by the mouth of thy servant David said, now, they're getting into Scripture. They begin to pray and lay their foundation of their prayer based on Scripture. He said, by David, you have said, where the hidden range and the rage of the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against the Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate. And the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel was determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and granted that thy servants with great boldness that they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Jesus had given his name to these people for prayer. And that if they asked God, the Father, anything in his name, that he would do it. Notice what Jesus said to them before his departure. When you leave people you love for a long time, you will say something important to them before you leave. How many of you are parents? How many of you wish you were a parent? No. No, listen to this. When you leave your house, you go on a vacation for a month, and your children are going to be there. They're teenage kids. Okay, you've installed cameras everywhere. And then, you're going to say, you tell the kids, listen, here's what I want you to do. If you run out of food, if there's a problem, and then you say this and that, right? You tell them exactly what to do. Listen, I'm going to be praying for you, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to, whatever. If you're scared at night, run to grandma's. I know she's a long way from here, but you can go there. Here's some money for taxi. Here's the car keys. Oh, you wouldn't do that. Okay. So you would tell the kids whatever is important. And Jesus was telling his church, his people, some important things that he wanted to tell them. Notice what Jesus said to them before he left. Over here in John 14, 13 and 14, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. We see that Jesus said, if you ask any in my name, that's like a blank check with some stipulation. Jesus said in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in my name, he may give it you. He's giving them some keys. He says, they were praying, by the name of Holy Child Jesus, they're praying that. Now go to verse 24, or at least John 16, 23, 24. In that day, he's talking about this day we're living in, the New Testament, under the New Covenant, because under the New Covenant, we ask the Father in Jesus' name. We do not go to Jesus to answer a prayer. How many people know right here, you do not go to Jesus to get your prayers answered. You go to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? That's how you do it. If you want your prayers answered, you don't say, oh, Jesus, do something about this. He's not going to do anything about it. Right? He's already given you the laws to follow in his scripture. You say, oh, Holy Spirit. No, he's not going to do anything. He's there to follow what you say. The Bible says in Ephesians or Acts chapter 8, 26, the Bible says that the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, likewise the Spirit himself, he groans. The word groaning talks about in there, it talks about in there coming against something in prayer that you come against. And when you come against something, he comes against it. He's called a helper. He doesn't go first. You go first. He's waiting for you to pray about some things so that he can come behind and undergird and help you in the will of God when it comes to praying. He says in the last section of that verse, he said, hitherto, we don't say hitherto, this is King James, we say from now on, we say, up until this point or whatever. You have asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, verse 24, Acts 4, 24, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak the word with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were about one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that had the art of the things which they possessed was their own, but they had all things in common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. 23 to 33, that's the whole, all the scriptures. Now, why did they pray that way? They found patterns in the Old Testament. They found patterns over here. If you find this scripture, I'm going to close soon, as 2 Chronicles 20 and verses 6 to 15. I want you to read that, because when those guys, Jehoshaphat, had trouble when they were being attacked by another nation, by three nations, of course, that was coming to attack Judah, the king panicked, first of all, and he began to ask people to pray, call a fast, and to call a solemn prayer. And so that prayer was what we call, you know, was a prayer, a corporate prayer, getting people together, and they're going to pray. And so notice over here that this Jehoshaphat, he began to say some words that really gives us some enlightenment about, you know, what these apostles thought about and what they were praying for and how they began to lay a foundation for themselves based on the scriptures. Are you following this? Okay, watch this, because you'll soon forget about all these rules when you have trouble. So get it on your heart, and it'll become automatic. When you jump in your car, you don't say, how do I drive this car? Somebody, please, let's Google it. No, you just get in your car and you drive away, not even thinking about it. Okay? I saw Pastor Ken jump on his bike today. Man, he looked like, phew. How did he do that? Because he just knows how to do it. If it was me, okay, here, you know. Okay, so over here, very quickly, please. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 6. This is the man of God. And he said, O Lord God, our fathers, God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of their heathen? And in thine hand is not their power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Are you not God, our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gave the seed of Abraham thy friend forever, and thou dwelt therein, and have built thee this sanctuary and that line therein for thy name, saying, when evil come upon us as a sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we stand before this in this house, in thy presence, for thy name in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear us and help us. And now behold, the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel to invade, and when they came out by the hand of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how the ant reward us and cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. He said, how come these guys are attacking us when we're trying to possess the land that you've already given us? Has God given you healing? Has God given you finances to have? Has God given you your children to raise? We can pray against the enemy from attacking our family. We can pray for needs that God has said we can have. You can stand on the word of God and push him out, just like over here. He's arguing with God like he would, like a lawyer would go before a judge and say, Lord, this is what you said. I have done that in my own life when it came to obeying God as the pastor. I said, God, I've come here. I've obeyed you. I've gone to my hell. I've done everything I could do as a human being. You got to show me what to do. I've gone so far to do this and that. I remember one time, you know, Pastor Hagen, you know, God showed him to become a pastor there in the 80s over at Raymond Bible Church. You know, he wanted to do his own thing. He didn't want to work for his dad. His dad come say, work for me. And Ken, you know, Brother Hagin put him to work. And Brother Hagin says, okay, now you're going to do this, I'm going to do that. And Pastor Hagin said, you know, I don't want to do this, I want to do that in his mind. But he said, I want to follow my dad anyway, because God said to him to follow over this direction. So he went into the ministry, and he followed God as best he could. And his son went overseas. One night, the Brother Hagin said this, that while Brother Hagin was sleeping, the Holy Spirit woke him up about 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. And he began to alert him that he should pray for his son. His son, apparently, they were riding on some motorcycles, and they were going to go. They went. His son went right off on the off the mountain, and he was about to cry. In fact, he went right off the mountain, and God pulled him back onto the solid ground. They had a crash, and God woke him up in the morning. And I can tell you stories about this man over here that God alerted him in the nighttime, and he called me so that we can pray. And we prayed together many times since that time. God used Ernie to pray for different situations that he didn't know. I didn't tell him what was going on in my life or anybody else's life. He just said, here's what I feel I need to pray for. I knew something. I didn't tell him. He doesn't have to know that. I just say, Ernie, you got to obey God because you're going to be accountable for what you know. God didn't wake me up at 3. He woke you up at 3. And so the Lord told Brother Hagin, he said, if you didn't obey me, I couldn't have saved your son. But since you obeyed me, I'm going to make sure that your son comes home. And as they record things together, some of you need to get in line with the will of God, or else you're going to lose some things in your life. Sooner or later, you're going to get into trouble. Like, you might be okay right now, but sooner or later, you're going to have to stand before God because you need to answer to God yourself. It's not what everybody does. I don't get mad when people, just half the church is not here. I just do what I'm supposed to do. God told me, be happy with what I've called you to do, and you do what I told you to do. Don't look at anybody else. It's the will of God for your life, not anybody else. When you come before me, I'm not going to ask you about everybody else. I'm going to ask you, what did you do? So stop crying about a lot of stuff. Stop arguing if somebody leaves the church. I don't get mad and say, we're going to still be here when they're gone. I was here before they came. I'll always be here after they leave. And, you know, in the ministry, when I came to ministry, people didn't want me to have a Faith City church. But we're here, I'm told the guys, hey, we're going to be here for a long, long time. God called me here. I'm going to be here. And I'm going to obey God because, you know, I'm not going to leave because some Christian on Facebook criticized me. Oh, it's too late for that. You know? I'm a man of God. I stand on the Word of God. I stand on the Word, not on Facebook. That says the Lord on Facebook. No, I stand on the Word of God. Everybody else, you know, if you want to fail, go ahead. Even people that are close to me. No, I'm going to follow the Word of God. At my mother's bedside when she's dying of cancer, I didn't say, oh, I don't believe in cancer. Sometimes it heals. No, God always heals. Whether my mother died of cancer or not, God always heals. But she didn't get healed because I know what she said. She said, someday I'm going to be healed. And faith is now. You got to say, I have it. Son, I got my healing. Thank God. When Dodie Osteen was dying, when Joel's mother was dying of cancer, and the doctor said, you got 2 weeks to live. She told her husband, honey, pray for me. You're the head of the house. Pray for me, and I'll be healed. And so he prayed. You know, John Osteen prayed for the mother. And she said, okay, thank God I'm well. And she was sick. She was dying every day. So she went about her life just like she's healed, but she was dying. She was like hardly walking and pain and just not living. And she was healed from that. Because she based on her prayer on the Word, not on how she felt right away, or she felt some anointing, or, you know. No, she said, you're the head of the house. And you're the head of your house. What happens to you? Thank God for that. I close with this prayer. James 5:15 says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess the word, confess your faults to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Some people say, oh, no, that rules me out. I'm not righteous. No, you're righteous. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're righteous right now. It's not matter what you send something over there. Forget it. Listen, confess your fault and say, thank God, I'm okay. I'm okay now right now. I'm going to pray. Elias. Everybody say Elias. He's talking about the prophet Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to passions like us. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, not on the earth, but the space of 3 years and 6 months, or three and a half years. And he prayed again, the heaven gave rain, the earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah prayed, Elijah's prayer, and your prayers, how does that compare? Jesus said he's a man subject just like you and me. He was human. His prayer was not based, his answered prayer was not based on because he was an apostle. His prayer was not based on because he is a man of God. His prayers was not based on because he was anointed to do signs and wonders. His prayer was based on that he knew the will of God, the word of God for the situation. And he said, I'm praying because God prompted me and I see it in scripture and it's not going to rain. Because they were sinning in the land. The king was sinning, and when they did all that and then the rain gave a stop. There was no rain. And he said, you're going to have to repent. Or there's going to be no rain. So, in 2 Kings 17:1, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's according to God's word. Not Elijah's word, God's word. God said it before he said that. So, in closing, the success of our prayer or your prayer is not based upon how you feel or circumstances, if they're hard or bad or soft or easy. The success of your prayer is based on what God's word says, and you need to know what it says. The man didn't pray for his own will about the rain. He prayed it because of the will of God. God is waiting right now. Ready to answer your prayer. 1 Peter 3:12 says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And we're righteous by faith in Jesus. Philippians 3 says that we have faith in God, and so we're deemed righteous. His ears are open to our prayers. God is listening right now. Why did Peter write that in the scripture? Because he found that over here and saw scriptures like this, Psalm 34:15. He says, the eyes are of the Lord upon the righteous, his ears are open unto their cry. Let's go ahead and stand up and pray. Praise God. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Lord God, that we are righteous, not because of our do's and don'ts and regulations that we set up, but because you said it, that we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that our righteousness is of him. And your scripture says the prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, amen. Dynamic in its working. And so, Father, when I pray, when we pray individually and together, we make power to come in our lives. So prayer makes power come, the power of God to come. And so, Father, we pray in unison today. We pray over our families. We pray over the upcoming conference. We believe, God, that signs and wonders will come. People will be saved. People will be healed. People will be delivered. People will hear a word that will change their lives, change their destinies forever. Backsliders will come in. The money will come for the whole conference. We pray for every single man, woman, and child that's watching on television, that's watching online. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the power of God will come in your living room, in your car, wherever you're sitting in a living room or a waiting room somewhere in a hotel, wherever you are, in the name of Jesus, may the power of God come there, break every banner, break every bond. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that the chains of darkness will fall from your eyes or your back or your wherever you've been chained. I pray that your eyes will be opened, that you'll see the goodness of God, the living God. I pray in the name of Jesus that your loved one will come back to their boundary, to the place where they belong. I pray in the name of Jesus that you're set free right now from every habit, from every bad habit. I break the power of the devil over your eyes. And over your life right now, in the name of Jesus, that you can see and know that he is real. I pray the touch of God upon your life right now, in the name of Jesus. I pray for every man, woman, and child right here that's standing in faith right now. for whatever they're believing God, for their home and their lives, their businesses and families, in the name of Jesus, we command the devil right now to get your hands off them right now. Move out of that place. We forbid you to touch God's property. Get out of their bodies, get out of their minds, get out of their homes. In the name of Jesus, and we loose angels of God to surround our homes, businesses, and families, and workplaces, that the protection of God will be there wherever they are. We call it done according to your word, your plan, and purpose of God. I want you, if you can pray in the Holy Ghost, I want you to pray the will of God right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray nice and hard and loud in the name of Jesus. Let it out. Pray the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Rama Sandaka Shitelimi. Oh, Ramaka Sambledi Shite. Lamaka Sandara Kesi. I will pray in the Spirit and I'll pray with understanding. Oh, Mra Kishite. Imre Mekishitiribi. He that prayed in unknown tongues prays mysteries. Oh, Rama Santa, the will and plan of God. Oh, Rabbi, we call the plan of God, the purpose of God, the will of God to be done. Oh, Simri, man, the dark setere, lema, kasala, lebe, kishete. Remove, remove, get out of there in the name of Jesus. Oh, Brahma, nakasantele, eshebe, kilima, noko, sundrama, ede, leke, sete, lema, kasama, kalarea. Oh, manishi, amanishi, alakosa, makaradeshi, telima. That the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints. The exceeding greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And he raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Fill each one with might by your power in their inner man, that Christ might dwell in their hearts by faith, that they be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that they be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of God. Lift that hand up and begin to rejoice and thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By faith, we declare it done. We declare it done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So be it. Hallelujah. Well, good night, everybody. Go home. Be blessed. Eat watermelon. Something. Praise God. Woo. Woo. Hallelujah.